Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? There we go. So Luke had to correct me this morning. Luke's our sound technician. I've been calling this the skunk tail, and he told me that in the industry, they actually call it the dead cat. So I don't know which one describes it better, but I hope it's not a dead cat. Well, how many cats did he kill? We won't get political. All right, so this morning, if you're here for the first time, my name is PJ. Very, very warm welcome to you. And if this is your first time, you would think that this is a sermon that is planned just for you to open up the curtains and speak about who we are as a church. So you got to see it as being ordained today that you are sitting over here to hear about who we are as a church. I'm going to get stuck right into it. No jokes today. We're just going to pray over the word. Father God, I thank you for who you are. Father God, I thank you that you are building the bride. Father God, I thank you that you are the one that gives the plan, and I thank you that you are the one that gives the vision. Lord, this morning I pray that you may just soften hearts, open them, prompt hearts, place the Spirit on people as we speak vision, as we speak mission, as we speak values. Lord, I pray that what you are preparing here in this church is one that will come to fruition. And we have faith that it will, because what is spoken will pass by you, Lord Jesus. Pray this in your name. Amen. So, I'm going to cast you back to 1990. I'm in grade one in Pretoria, and one of my favorite subjects at school was Bible study. We had that in public schools. I don't know if they still have it there, but we had that when I was in grade one. And we were speaking about Moses, and we were speaking about the promised land. And I remember that what the task was for us to draw a picture of what we could imagine the promised land was. And I had this piece of paper, and I had my crayons, and it was fairly fresh into the year, so the crayons were still fresh, had the wrappers around them. Everybody knows the smell of those crayons, and as I was thinking about it this week, that's what I was thinking about. But more importantly, I was thinking about the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And I was just thinking of the viscosity, the flowing honey that just sort of poured out, and I was just thinking, man, how is this possible, and why would God give this land of milk and honey? As a seven-year-old, I was like, man, this sounds amazing, and you're just thinking of this flowing, just this molasses type, you guys know it, there's this flow of honey, and then there's just a splashing white milk, you know, just pouring out like fountains just uprising, and waterfalls or milk falls of just milk cloaking down of this abundance that God had on offer for his people. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to draw this, and I use the yellow for the honey, and I draw the outline for the milk. I was smart then because you can't color in milk. But I left it around the paper, and it was just this image of the promised land. And I was thinking about that this week, because if you want to know something about me, maybe you have realized this about me, maybe if you spend some time with me, I would define myself as a dreamer, right? I am a person that is maybe not a realist. I am the one that would just think in pictures. Think in what could be. Think about the possibility of what can be. And that's been it's defined my life, and it's frustrated some people. It's ignited other people. But I do believe that God gives vision. So if you tell me, say, PJ, what's your vision for this church? Well, I'm a dreamer. So I'm going to say to you, my vision for this church is a massive building. And not just beyond a massive building, but it's not a building that's just used for a couple services on a Sunday. It's a functional building. It's a functional building that is planted in a community here in Edmonton, and it's where things and life operates. There's a coffee shop for people to meet, and fresh cinnamon knots that can compete with Square One. And people can come as friends and just fellowship over there. And there will be classes where a Dan Jackson has a passion for music, can do his music lessons. And there's an outpouring, because I know that Russell has a heart for Alpha. And Alpha can be run over there for people to encounter the word for the first time and then come in to the church. And then I'm thinking of something practical where the word can be taught by a guy like Eric, where there's just this on fire to teach. And then I think of something that is that there would be a climbing wall for Cole, because that's what he wanted when we planted this church. And there can be something where there's a fellowship for athletes, which was always the dream of Cole that we could have. And it's just an extension, and it's not something that is just isolated within the community, but it just pours out into the community. And from there, the gospel is just encounters people, and we make disciples of men. And every single one of you is just walking in the freedom of the grace that is on offer from Jesus. And there is just this joy and the fruits of the Spirit overflowing in where this impact of the church can be had. Right. Actually, if you keep your eyes closed for too long, actually when you wake up, you're like, you know, your eyes are open. Is that a cool vision?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you to calm down, because that's my vision. That's not God's vision. Right? And I think it's important over here that we need to distinguish that as exciting that that may be, and as much as God can fuel vision for a church, it has to be from God. And I can sit over here and I can encourage you about this amazing church that's going to be fantastic. And Dan's already trying to redirect his Instagram to say that classes will be held from the church. Just hold on. Just hold on. Right? We need to take a step back and we need to understand, what is God doing through this church? What does he want to do through this church? All right? So I actually thought that I was going to do that at the back end. But then I thought, maybe I should just move it up and let's just deal with it up front and do it in the front end, because that's not God's plan. Maybe it is. Maybe there's things that are burning up. Maybe there's things I know I've spoken to some of you about that should get us excited. But we need to make sure that it's God's plan. Next slide, Larry. That's going to be the question on everybody's lips. Okay, what is the plan? What's the plan? I don't want to... Usually... At work, people look at me like, PJ, what's the plan? I'll be like, this is the way that we're going to do it. But it cannot be the leadership's plan. It has to be God's plan. It absolutely has to be God's plan. Because if God's not in it, it's not going to be a church. It's not going to be the church. It's not going to be God's church. Right. So it's important that now, as we go about today, we're going to focus on what God's plan is for this church. And I want to cast you back to Exodus. Exodus chapters 25, and it goes all the way to 28. And there's a couple of excerpts over there that I'd like to take out, and I'd like to speak to you about how God does a journey with people. God can do things. God can plant a church. God can do it by himself, but he wants to do it with us. He did it with Noah. He did it with Abraham. He wanted to do it with Adam. He does it with Moses. But now find yourself in Exodus 25 to 28, and God is speaking to Moses about building the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the tent of worship. Just flick it over there. Before I get over there, I just want you to understand who Moses was. Moses was an orphan for all intents and purposes. Moses was an orphan who had to be let go by his mom, right? And in his mind, he would have been orphaned. Moses was this individual who grew up in a society of in Pharaoh's palace. He was molded by Egyptian culture. He was shaped by the way of the world at the time. Moses, I was trying to think, what was his trouble with speaking? They said he had a trouble with speech. Did he stutter? Did he just have performance anxiety to speak in front of people? Was he shy? I'm not sure. But there was a problem. For all intents and purposes, he's not kind of the guy that jumps up and says, you're going to lead the way. And yet God used him. God wanted to use him. As a matter of fact, he was probably the best to be used, because he had no reference to what culture was and how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that, and it should be this way. But God speaks to Moses over a series of chapters 25 to 28 in Exodus. And there's a couple of things that I want to speak to you about over there. So the first part is, the Lord says to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive that offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. The first part over there is that God wants the people to be involved in this. God is prompting hearts. God is prompting your hearts. You need to understand, if you're here today, God is working in your heart in terms of how He wants to weave you into the fabric of what is Enjoy Life and what Enjoy Life is going to be. The second one over there goes up, make a tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. That wasn't Moses thinking. It didn't say make a tabernacle. Now Moses could use his imagination and perhaps commission some architect or designer or engineer to make it. No, God said, make it exactly like the pattern I will show you. Go on, Larry. 25 goes on, see that you make it again. Verse 40, according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. 26, I will bring skilled workers. Again, bringing around the people that are going to be involved in the building of where they're going to house the Ark of the Covenant, where they're going to worship God. They're going to bring skilled workers, different skilled workers that are going to do different things. The carpenters, the seamstresses, all of those are going to come along to make what God has a plan for. And that plan has been given to Moses, a blueprint for what God wants to see. And then it finishes over there and it says, tell all the skilled workers to whom I've given wisdom. I'm going to tell you that God is prompting your heart. God is prompting your heart. I have to just look here this morning and just see the skill that's on display over here. The violinist was amazing, right? I've always got to say that. But no, just from the drummers to the bass guitarists to the vocalists to the guitarists to the violinists to the pianists, all of those to the sound individuals, skills that I don't have and I never will have, right? But God has prompted their hearts and brought them along in this journey to build up the church that He wants. And it's important over there that if Moses went about his business and he said, I'm going to do this, so God's like, no, that's not what I want. Here is the plan, stick to it. Here is the blueprint, build with it. Here is the skilled workers, use them. Right? So the first thing I want to tell you today is that if I come over here and on behalf of the leadership, I put before a vision, you should ask me, PJ, what is God saying? Is that God's blueprint for where Enjoy Life should be in the kingdom? So now we ask ourselves, well, okay, I think it's important that we speak about mission, and I think it's important that we speak about the what makes up that mission and how we're going to go about. What is us as Enjoy Life Church? It's important. It's things that we should be thinking about. But I would tell you again that this isn't an organization. What this is a church. This is the bride that God is building. And it starts off not just with a mission, but it starts off with the Great Commission, right? So I want you to turn with me to Matthew 28. So Jesus is now about to ascend, and He's hanging around with 11 of His disciples. And all right, Great Commission. So He's with His 11 disciples. They went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And Jesus came to Him and said, all authority and on earth, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's actually quite funny because when we swim, the kids want to play baptize game. So we take turns baptizing each other, and the kids always mix up the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's like it's the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. It's the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. There's many permutations within the three. You'd be amazed. But they never get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they leave me down there a bit longer than what I need to be. But anyway, it's great to see them playing this game. But that there is the commission. That there is what Jesus wants of us as a body of believers. There is a call on our lives because you are weaved into the story of how God is going to build the bride. And what have you been asked to do is go out and make disciples of men. Go out and see the world filled with the gospel, filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with the understanding of the grace that is to be received through the blood of Jesus. So now you think, how do we weave this into what our mission is? See, the thing is with a commission is a commission, you can have a mission where this is my responsibility. I'm on a mission to do something. But the beauty about a commission is someone's asked you to do something. If you think about it, think of an artist. An artist, you can a very talented artist, I could come and I could pay money and I could say, I am asking you to make a portrait of my family. I've commissioned an artwork. And the same way God is commissioning us to formulate the artwork which is going to see the gospel permeate the world. So when we think of our mission, Enjoy Life's mission, it has to be tied to what the Great Commission is. And it cannot be off. It has to be aligned. So there's our mission, making disciples of Jesus by allowing the living word through the local church so that it can reach and permeate and transform hearts. I added in the other bit there, I know because I'm not reading, of people close and near. Community, local church, the word. Right? Read that with me. Making disciples of Jesus by bringing God's word to life through the local church, reaching hearts, transforming communities, both near and far. And I'm going to speak about the different components over there. But the first thing is, it's about making disciples of Jesus. We are not here in the business of making disciples of Len. Lord help us. Right? It's a joke. But the reality is that we are making disciples of Jesus. If we're making disciples of the leadership, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're in a cult. And we're not in the business of doing that. Right? We are making disciples of Jesus. That's who we follow. And it's important that we don't lose sight of that. How do we do that? We do that through the word. We value the local church and community. And there is an order to that. I'm going to start off with the word. So we've made this into a value statement over there. You can see it over there. Or I can see it there. You can see it here. But I want to leave you with the statement, the word. The foundation of our faith is the Word of God. We believe Scripture is alive, powerful, and transformative. It guides our lives, shapes our hearts, and fuels our mission to share God's truth with the world. Everything we do is rooted in and aligned with the Word. The Word is the cornerstone of this church. The Word is the cornerstone on the church that God is building. Why? Well, 1 1, verses 1. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Why else would you have anything else? At the beginning, before the world was formed, as before the mountains were created, before Adam and Eve were crafted into their mother's, their father's image, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why would you build a church that is to be filled with God any other way? It is foundational. But it's more than that. The Word is alive, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. And that's aggressive, because we talk about the Word, and it's like, man, you know, the Word's meant to bring life, and it's meant to bring joy, and it's to allow people to encounter Jesus. But the reality is that the Word is going to offend, and the Word is going to cut. And as long as we're standing over here, skirting around, and picking and choosing the pieces that we want to speak about in the Word, we are not going to be a Word-based church. It's everything. It's the beginning to the end of the Word should be preached through the church. Right? And the only way that we're going to see God's church transform the lives of this community and beyond is by preaching all of it. and allowing it to be alive and dynamic and cut through sin, cut through the problems, allow things for people to be free through the power of the Word. The other one is that the Word is a guiding light. It's like a lamp to our path. What better way would you want if we're going to build a church that is founded on God, that we're going to stick to the Word and have that be the lamp to our feet as we walk a path forward? It is so important that we understand that we stick, because that's where the blueprint is. That's where it's inspired. And it's purposeful and effective. In Isaiah 55, the word is spoken and it will become because of the power of that word. The words, and I'm going to share about it now, the words that have been spoken over this church and we hold close to our heart in faith are ones that we believe will come to pass in faith because God has spoken to us. But God has spoken over this church. God has spoken over this body. Understand that. The second one is local church. This statement over here, the local church is God's vessel for nurturing believers and making His love known. We are committed to building a strong, vibrant community of faith that supports spiritual growth, fosters fellowship, and serves a beacon of hope. Through the local church, we are equipped to live out our faith and share the gospel with others. The local church is the bride. You understand? Have you ever heard that reference over there, that the preparation of the bride? That is Jesus' bride, is the local church. And we get to be part of it. And I want to be very clear over here. I am not going to speak against a para-ministry, or I'm not going to speak against the work of individuals in the mission field. I'm not going to speak against evangelical calls. I'm going to speak about it. But I'm going to say that it is nothing if it doesn't operate outside of a local church, a healthy local church. So often, and I've seen it so often, is that people will come to know Jesus through the power of evangelism. And it's important, right? There's a power for it. But then they just sort of fade away because they're not planted into a community of believers that can nurture and grow. And that's the importance of the local church. We value it. We prioritize it because it's there that people grow. It's there that people get equipped. It's there that people find protection. It's from there that people get to operate. Yeah. And I want to take you to Ephesians 4. You've got it there. This is verse 11. And this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, the shepherds being the pastors, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. And inside over there, what he's given is the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry being the apostle. The apostle that looks over, that gives that direction, that there's a leadership mantle on an apostle. But then from there is also a prophet, the prophetic. It is dangerous to operate in the prophetic outside of a local church, to help minister through the prophetic that has been spoken. And you've got the evangelist. We come back to it. The evangelist is important. The evangelist has his place to go out and reach as part of that great commission. But again, if it's done outside of the authority of a local church, we're in trouble. And then you've got the pastor, the Russells of the world. You got the teachers, the Erics of the world. All of a sudden, you start to see that all of these skills, all of these gifts are different. All of these skills have got some place that make together a body that is the local church. The local church is the incubator from which we operate. Any concerns over there? Right? We prioritize local church. And we can do things from the local church. We can have those ministries. We can have the ladies' ministry as it goes into the next season of Encourage. We can have a prayer team. We can have Club 56. We can have youth. These are all good things. But we cannot lose sight that they operate outside of the local church, where families come in and they're fed and they grow and they mature. And from there, they are released. There is a multiplication that is done from this. And when we ask ourselves, how are we building a church? If we're not valuing the local church and what God is doing through it, we've missed the point. And the last one is community. How many times have you heard us say in some way, shape, or form that we are a relationship church? Yeah. Thank you. We are called to impact both our immediate surroundings and the world beyond. Our heart for the local church and global community, where we extend God's love, compassion, and service. Through outreach, missions, and relationships, we aim to bring the light of Christ to every corner of the world, starting with those closest to us. Man, we can sit over here and say, we're going to tackle over the world. We're going to take the world. And my hope is that we're going to do it. My hope is that we would be able to see what God is doing through this church in all corners of the world. And interesting enough, when I stand here and I look at you and I think of all the different places where we've come from to be here today, that alone is a miracle. That over there is, it's not coincidence, right? God is doing something where there's different cultures, there's different heritage, there's different backgrounds, all of which to come together to create a church that is going to have an impact that God wants, not necessarily us. Community is important. Community is so important. Relationship is important. But without the local church and without the word, all you've got is a social club. And to be honest with you, I haven't really got time for a social club. I find them weird, right? We had a social club at work and we had to pay into it. I really feel as though there's some dodgy accounting going over there. So I'm telling you that the local church, I mean, the community is only an extension of the local church. And you'll see there's an order over there in that mission statement. Ilaria, can you go back to our mission statement? There we go. Thank you. Making disciples of Jesus. That's where we start. That's where we're going to start. That is the goal. That is the commission. How do we do that? We do that through the word, by making it alive through the local church so that we can reach communities both far and near. That is an order. There is an order to that. Starts with the word, expressed through the local church to reach community. Community here in Greenfield. I'm looking at Candace now, but I'm just thinking of all of you that participated in what was 2 weeks ago outside of here. That is the expression of the church in the community that brings people from far and wide. And you need to understand that God is prompting hearts of people you don't even see sitting in the pews right now, of people that are sitting in the pews right now, to be part of the journey of what He's going to do through this church. The way I see those three things, when you speak about the body that is the church, the word is the DNA in the body. It's important that you've got that right. That is going to define your characteristic. That's going to define how you look. That's going to define what color, what flavor. Everything over there is baked into your DNA. And the DNA of this church is the word. And then you think of the local church. The local church is the body as it be. So when you look at yourself, I was thinking of this picture. It's kind of freaky when you think about it, but you are the arms, you are the legs, you are the eyes, you are the fingers that allow this body to move because you are the local church, right? So yeah, we may look a bit weird that we've got 100 arms and 100 feet, but the fact is that God puts that together and makes a masterpiece of what is going to have that impact to reach the community. Okay, so word, local church, community. It's important. We're not community first. You can't be because we'll be misdirected. How do you stand for the truth? And you need to understand that it will divide. So now we've got the fundamentals down. I think it's important that we look at some of the prophetic words that have been spoken over this church. I picked 10, but there's so many, right? There are so many, I picked 10. And it isn't 3.2, it's just two services. But so we go over here. Prophetic that has been spoken. There are 10 prophetic words that I want to speak about. First of all, and this was the most recent one that I remember, and it was from Family Camp, but it was from Frank, and it spoke about good roots. You can sometimes be deceived by fruit when the roots are rotten. When the roots are rotten, you can start a downward spiral. But it's important that when you're planting something and something's growing, that the roots are good. Because fruit comes, fruit goes. But when your roots are right, that is what's going to see multiple generations start to flow. Multiple generations of good fruit in a community, both far and wide, that is important. The second one, which I think is important, but we've seen it, but I think it's important to understand, is that we are a generous church. We're a generous church, whether it be financial, whether it be in our time, whether it be with our skills, and that's been spoken over our church, right? And we're going to see that because there is a cost, and it's not always financial. It can be time. And, you know, we've gone through the season now where we've done the reset of rhythms, which is important. But the reality is that there's a generosity that is sown into each and every one of you, which you start to think of the church as they described it in Acts, where people sold homes and they invited people into their homes, and there was just a share amongst believers. That there is a church that you want to replicate, a true Acts-based church. Two services. Now it starts getting scary. I hear that and I'm like, whoa, I'm okay with one, okay? But I want to go through a couple of it because these ones speak to growth. Two services. You outgrow this church. The current building is the home for another church, right? How exciting is that? You start to look at it, you start to look around and you say, are we ready? I don't know. All I do know is that it's going to take more than what we've got right now to go to two services. There we go. Thanks, Larry. Quick on the button today. So we've got the, all I know is that it's going to take a lot to go to a two services church. But what I'm more excited about over there is that there is going to be growth, that there will be growth, that there are people that we haven't met yet that I believe that will be in this community and beyond. There are people that are sitting in other countries like I was 14 years ago that God's prompting to come be part of this journey. Whether it be in Asia, whether it be in South America, whether it be in Russia, whether it be in Ukraine, whether it be in Greenland. I don't know, but all I know is God is starting to prompt and work on the hearts that he wants to be part of this picture that he is commissioning. We can go now to 6-7. These ones get exciting. Raise up and release people in their giftings. Sometimes it's embarrassing when you speak to other believers, or not other believers, other leaders of churches, and we speak about the abundance of gifts that we see inside of you. And I think that you need to ask yourself, what are the gifts that God has given you, and how are you applying them to the local church? There is an abundance of gifts within this church, whether it be making sausage, whether it be barbecuing, whether it be music, whether it be teaching, whether it be preaching, whether it be just having a person that cares, a pastoral heart, all of these skills God is prompting and weaving together. Yeah. A planting church, that's also scary. Man, that means division. That means a scary word of division. It means we're going to lose people. I don't want to lose people. I've got attachment issues. I want to hold on to you. I don't want to see you go. But I think it's important that we understand that it's not what I want. It's what God is doing through this church. Right? Where is our next church plant? Who are the people that God's prompting to that they've got planting over their lives that we should start asking and start nurturing? I love a statement that when we plant, we don't plant the fruit, we plant the root. So often what you can do is you can plant the fruit that you see, and all you have to do is plant a, think of some fruit that you would just plant in the ground, for example, an orange. You're not necessarily going to get an orange tree. All you're going to get is a rotten orange that disintegrates and goes down and fertilizes the soil. That's great. What we're looking to do is plant the root. Take the root and plant it down into fertile soil and let it grow deep. Let it grow deep so it can multiply the fruit in the community that we want to reach as we go about our mission that we've been called to do. Seed for missions. You know how many of you I've spoken to that have got a heart for missions? My brother and sister-in-law, I always heard about the dream of where they're going to fly across Africa, and that's going to be a, and there's going to be nursing to just see these people get penicillin for the first time and then encounter Jesus. You know, whatever it may be, there are many people of here where there's the heart for missions. Whether it be here, whether it be Africa, whether it be Asia, maybe the people that have come from Ukraine need to go back to Ukraine and speak about the gospel over there in a different way. Sometimes I do laugh, though, because so often when I speak to people in South Africa, they say, you know, we get Canadians that come over here, and we feel we should go there to preach the gospel to them. So we don't know. But what we do know is that there is a mission call on some of your hearts. And we do know that through the release of a healthy local church, that we are going to reach those communities far, not necessarily near. And it can be mission field, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in the city of Edmonton. And then the one that really touches close to my heart is see many generations to come. When I was young growing up, we had a Vanna wagon. I call it a Vanna wagon. It's called a combi in South Africa, but it's the VW Vanna wagon, and they had the passenger version, not necessarily the camper version that you got here. And it had you had your driver's seat, your passenger seat, and then two rows. And it'd be amazing in those two rows. I will show you a picture. We didn't do it, but taxis over there would fit. I think the recording was probably for 8 people. You'd pull out 24 people inside there. You can just squeeze people in the dog box. It's quite funny to see. I remember growing up where we would drive. We'd leave our house. Sometimes we'd have people come down to our house. They'd get in the combi. We'd take them to church. Or we'd drive to 14th Street and pick up Auntie Janet and Nicola, put them in the van, and we would take them to church. I remember that van. That van is anointed. Let me tell you, like, you do not own a combi in South Africa, 1995, to whenever they stop making them. They would get stolen. That combi was stolen twice and was returned because it had a call on its life to deliver people to church. Right? Let me tell you, and that was our only vehicle. The second time it was stolen in 2000 July, I cried. I cried so hard, and I was so angry. And someone had taken this off, and we had just said, "Man, Jesus, you got to make a way." And there was a day that we were going to say that we were going to write it off. And I'm not joking when I tell you that a guy called my mom and said, "Hey, you know, we think we found your combi. Someone is spray painting it up where in the north. You need to come find it." We got in the car, we found it. It changed color from blue and white to just white, right? But that combi was anointed for the community to drive people to where they needed to be so they could encounter Jesus. There was once where we filled 10 people inside there to go and see Mother Teresa, right? She was at the Pretoria Showgrounds in the 80s, and we just flocked inside there. I was thrown in the dog box, like it's this backspace over there, and we all drove down with all these grannies to go and just see Mother Teresa. And I saw her go up the escalator. That's my claim to fame. I remember Anita, and I remember Auntie Janet, and I remember Unc Brabus, old women who have subsequently passed, praying over me at a prayer service on a Saturday night as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. I remember the warmth of their hands. I remember the calluses of others. Right? But the fact is that I remember these people that I've long outlived. And that's my dream, to see this church be long, long, long in the tooth. Yeah. Multiple generations that run deep. Yeah. So Pat, your grandkids can have a local church where they can thrive. I know you're getting nervous. Right? But that's the vision. Yeah. Right? I can remember it. I can remember an old man in his 80s. I was standing over there, and he had a bag, a pocket of sweets, and he would just hand out sweets to the kids. And I actually didn't like the sweets, so I politely dropped them on the floor and walked away. But the thing is that the church was multi-generational. The church was multi-generational. And that's what's beautiful about it. That there are going to be many generations to come through this church, not necessarily in this building, because it's spoken that it will be someone else's house, but what we're going to say is that we are going to see many generations to come, and I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to see maybe Evan marry one of your daughters. Victoria's not getting married, so it's okay. But that's what the local church is about, and that's the fruit of planting good root that sees things come alive. All right, so are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, what's your role? What is your role? What is God prompting in your heart? What is God stirring in your heart to be part of this journey? Because He is. You know, we speak about community as much as we want to, but one of the common words that comes from community is unity. And I can tell you now that Jesus craves unity in the bride. That means the enemy doesn't. And He's going to sow disunity. He's going to sow the break-in in the unity of the church. And we need to be aware of it. Paul, who was probably the most divisive before his conversion, is the one that's writing to the Corinthians, is one that's writing to the Ephesians about unity in the church. We need to be unified in what we're doing. We need to stand together under the common mission of going out and making disciples of the world. through the word, through the local church, and reaching communities close and far. And you're sitting here today, and maybe you're a visitor, and I'm not trying to pinpoint a visitor over here, because maybe you're just shopping. That's fine. But what I'm going to encourage is that the local church is not a, it's not a buffet. You don't go through a local church, and you've got a buffet stand over there. Pick up this. Oh, no, maybe pick up this. Lift up this pot. Some of the water from the thing drips down and makes it a bit runny in the spinach, and you, oh, I don't want that. You move on over here. Maybe I'll get some ribs. Whatever it's going to be, that's not what the local church is. Guys, we've got to stop that, yeah. Right? You are in here for a reason. You've got to ask yourself less about, should I be here? Or maybe I should leave. And you've got to start asking your question of, why has God planted you here? I shared a bit of my story last week. I can tell you, when I came here, I arrived on a Friday. The following Thursday, I was in a life group. And it sounds like an amazing story. It's just a plug for life groups. I can tell you, life group is good for you. Life group is good for you. Brush your teeth, go to life group. These are things that are good for you, right? But it sounds good. Like, I came inside over there, and I sat there, and I shared this. I don't want to share too much of what I shared last week. But the fact is, I sat in a church for 2 years. 13, 14. 3 years, right? 3 years, not 2 years, 3 years. I was just a bum in the seat. And I knew God was calling. And there's once in those 3 years, I met with Cole at Starbucks on Gateway Boulevard. And I shared what my heart was. My heart was that I've just got a heart for people. And Cole sips his coffee, and the way Cole does, I'm going to put a plug over there, go and have a coffee with Cole, have a sandwich with him. Guy's wise. He sits over there and he says, we only ask to make disciples of men. What are you doing today to make a disciple? What are you doing under that Great Commission? What are you doing in terms of bringing your skills? What are you doing in being an active member of the body? Do not be like me that waited 3 years before he has this realization, has the opportunity to follow the way of the world, which I did, and God gave it to me. I believe it was a point where I had the option, and I spoke about this. But do not be the guy that waited 3 years in incubation, in what's the state before a seed germinates? That part over there was just dead. Be alive and let the fruit show. Each and every one of you should be in a germination state, where we speak about roots that start to plant inside a local church. And you will be amazed how God is going to use you. You will be amazed at the blessing that comes by planting into a local church. There's a lot of disunity in church. And Paul pulls his hair out. He's like, man, you guys need to get your act together. And he writes these letters in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He writes a letter to the Corinthians. And in Ephesians verse 4, he speaks again about, you need to get your act together. Because your human ways of jealousy, of arrogance, of looking at how things are done, needs to stop. Because you're not building for man. You're building for God. And he goes on and he says, some may plant, some may water, but God grows. Some may plant, some may water, but God grows. 2009, we celebrated 14 years last week. 2009, Len and Laurie shared the story last week about driving between Calgary and Edmonton, and it's anointed that there is going to be a place here in Edmonton. Some may plant, others have watered, but God grows. All of that is in vain if God is not in it. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. Why are you doing what you're doing? And this isn't an excuse to say, well, you know, I'm waiting for God. Don't wait for God. I waited 3 years. You guys need to wake up and just allow God to move through the skills and the blessing and the giftings and the grace that he has for you. And you build. And when you build, God will use the fire to test what you're building. And over there, the things that are not of God will burn away. But the things of God will build and stand strong. And that is the church that we're building over here. So my ask of you this morning, when you look at your skills, it's easy when you see a musician. It's easy when you see someone who has an anointing for the prophetic. It's easy to see someone who can speak and say, well, you know, this isn't for me. Let's take it all the way back to Exodus. They weren't talking about the individual who could speak. That wasn't Moses. It wasn't talking about the individual who had a good family life. He was an orphan. It wasn't talking about the individual who understood who God was. They were just speaking about a carpenter. They were just speaking about a person that could stitch a curtain together, that had a good eye for color. The decor ladies over here. It's amazing when you come over here and you see. I just saw this today. I don't know who put it up, but Thanksgiving has happened. Helen? Yeah? Dana? Okay. Look. The decor ladies. You guys are Exodus ladies. The skills that have been given to you. And I see that and I thank you. We walk into church and it's all of a sudden changed to Thanksgiving. And I am thankful for the work that you guys do. There are things beyond the core part of what church is that is important for this church to thrive. Organizational skills, cooking skills, 3D printing skills, whatever they may be, right? This is what makes up the church. But unless God is in it, we got nothing. And I can tell you that I'm excited. When I close my eyes and I share the vision that I did up front, I hope all of that comes to fruition and I hope more. I hope so much more. I hope that our van gets packed with a whole bunch of my wife's looking at me. She's like, that's my van. She's like, I hope that van is packed for people to go, because another vision, another excitement dream that I've got is that Commonwealth Stadium will be filled to the brims with people worshiping Jesus. Amen. And that's been with me for 8 years. And every time I drive past it, or I go to a concert, or you know, you're standing somewhere and you're seeing these people celebrate, and I'm like, one day, God, I'm telling you, we are going to see Edmonton to its knees by filling Commonwealth Stadium to the brim. And that's going to be done through a local church. Yeah. The bride coming together and making a stand over the city of Edmonton. Amen. So I can sit over here and say all of these things, but we need to bring it back down to ground. Unless God is building the house, we labor in vain. Yeah. And you need to ask yourself, what are you doing? And why are you doing it? And I'm not trying to put you into a spiral of existential crisis. What I am saying is sometimes it's simpler than you think. What is it that you can bring? I had someone a couple of weeks ago, we were just speaking about what are the skills, and someone came up and said, I got website skills. We need to use those website skills. I'm just not looking at someone particularly. I'm just looking at, in general, that area over there. We got to use those website skills. So that we could use the internet to go and reach people and make disciples of men. It's as simple as that, guys. All right. So I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. There isn't a particular call today, but I think that there should be, because one thing I do know, I got no reference of how church should be run, to be honest with you. I know two ways, this church and another church that I grew up in. I got no reference of what church should be like in Canada or the Canadian way. I don't know that. But the more I think about it, the more I think about Moses, the more I begin to appreciate that God doesn't care. God wants the orphans. God wants the individual that battles to speak. God wants the individual that's got no understanding of the customs, of the way and things have been done. Understand, Moses was planted into the Israelites. He never grew up with those practices. He just observed from the luxury of the palace. Right? What is God telling you this morning in where you need to stand up and step in to come behind the great commission of going out and making disciples of the world, of going out to the world to make disciples of Jesus? It's a simple call. Who are you going to speak tomorrow? There's a pilot in the back there. Maybe tomorrow when you're flying and you say, this is your captain speaking, maybe you need to say, do you guys know Jesus? If not, come and speak to me afterwards. Maybe it's being as bold as that. Because everyone gets used to the words that the captain are going to say. Just use it in your croaky voice and just say, this is your captain speaking. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And have them come over there and meet you, and you just hit them with the truth, man. Come on, guys. This is the expression of the local church, and it doesn't have to be here. It shouldn't be here today. It shouldn't just be here on a Sunday. It should be in your workplaces. It should be in the schools. It should be in the shops, in the grocery stores. You should be in tune with the Spirit. And that's the last piece to the body that I want to close with. We speak about the Word being the DNA. We speak about the body being you, the limbs of this body. And we speak about walking into a community to make disciples of Jesus. But the soul of that body is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what binds. The Holy Spirit is what unifies. And that's what we should be operating with. So I ask you today, as we finish up, I just want you to settle your hearts and ask yourself, what is God prompting you to do? And maybe you've been holding back. Maybe you've been sitting in the chair, maybe judging or being divisive. I don't know. Maybe you need to repent. I'm not sure. But today, let's come together under the common vision of we need to go out into the world and make disciples of men. I'll invite Russell to come up.
Can you bow your heads with me and just maybe open up your hands in a posture of receiving? Jesus, we've heard what PJ shared with us today, and it's rooted in the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning you would speak directly to hearts through the empowering of your Holy Spirit, and that you would settle things that are unsettling, whether it's about, am I meant to be here? Am I meant to go somewhere else? Holy Spirit, come and settle today in people's hearts. I pray for a boldness to rise up in individuals where they would want to walk a road with someone. And I pray that the receiving person would be willing to walk that road with them. Help us have humility for one another. Help us strive for unity together. Holy Spirit, come and lead, guide, and direct as we navigate this next season of wanting to do things your way firstly. Point us towards you, Holy Spirit. Point us towards you, Jesus. God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. If any of the words that were spoken